This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Welcome to the Migration Podcast, your guide for waterfowl hunting tactics, gear, and conservation. And now, your host, Brian Halbly.
What is up, everyone? As Johnny M. said, I'm your host, Brian Halbly. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to the Migration Waterfowl Podcast, presented by Bluebird Waterfowl. Check out their new spinning wing decoy prototype wings. They're offering a 6-wing prototype set to anyone interested in testing them out. I've got my set and I'm very impressed with them. You've probably noticed I've been sharing some photos and videos on my social media, and I'll be bringing you much more. The season's fast approaching, so make sure you get a hold of them at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or call them at 800-564-0914 and be one of the first people to get your hands on them. This episode is also brought to you by these other fine partners, the Duck Hole and Company. If you've been following my social media feeds, you've seen that John has been busy working on waterfowl habitat in North Carolina. I'm hoping to make it down there one of these days and get a hunt in with him. You can also contact him if you've got any questions, if you do any waterfowl property management. He's very knowledgeable in all aspects of that and can recommend plantings and approaches and anything else that you've got questions about for waterfowl habitat. Check out the Duck Hole and Company on any of their social media feeds. Rig 'em Right Outdoors, if you're in need of some new decoys, a blind, a new chair or stool, a vest or blind for your dog, go check out everything Rig 'em Right has to offer at rigemright.com or your favorite local outdoor supplier. Flight Day Ammunition, I had a chance to pattern the steel loads that Ben Meyer sent me the other day. Wow, is all I can say. He's going to be joining me on the show real soon to break down the research and development that go into his incredible ammo. He does still have some bismuth left. If you got a desire to have bismuth in your shell bag this season, I'd get a hold of him pretty quick. I'd imagine that's probably going to be running out with the current state of the bismuth supply chain. Also, don't forget to use code MW10 at checkout for 10% off. AV's hunting gear. I've been wearing my Scout pants and Dot Air shirts so much the last few weeks, especially now that the temperatures are back into the 80s. Super comfortable, especially in the warmer temperatures, moisture wicking, heat wicking. Just really impressed with the lightweight gear that I've been wearing since they sent me everything. One of the founders and developers, Rhett Strickland, is going to be joining me on the show coming up soon, and we're going to discuss the innovative line of clothing and gear that Avies offers. So far, I've been blown away with everything I've been wearing, and I can't wait to put the hunting gear to work this upcoming season. So go to avieshunting.com, that's A-V-E-S hunting.com, to learn more about their advanced waterfowl gear. And Northern Duck Calls, precision crafted duck and goose calls made right here in Pennsylvania. You can check them out at northernduckcalls.com. I'm excited to be working with Sean and another Pennsylvania company, and looking forward to putting his calls to work this upcoming season. Well, Pennsylvania finally posted our finalized duck and goose seasons on May 28th. That was right after I had everything recorded for last week's show, so I didn't get into that. Usually doesn't take that long to finalize the dates. I usually have everything wrapped up at the beginning of May at the latest. And from what I've been reading and hearing, people are not happy with the Pennsylvania waterfowl biologist. I always take everything that people say about fish and game biologists with a grain of salt. I try to always give them the benefit of the doubt. They've got a tough job trying to manage the resources in each state while also attempting to keep as many groups happy as possible. But there has been a disturbing trend nationwide as of late where a lot of our new state biologists are non-hunters. I've even seen some examples of some acting like anti-hunters. But as I said, I try to gather as many facts as I can before making an educated decision. I even sent our state wildlife biologist an email last year inviting her to come on the show. Unfortunately, she never responded. Anyway, I hope she takes me up on my offer to join me one of these days. I'll have to send a follow-up email. I would really like to have her on to discuss the state of waterfowl management and hunting in my home state of Pennsylvania. Thankfully, not much has changed with the seasons and opportunities. Pull up the dates here. Duck season is going to be opening on October 11th. We've got four zones in Pennsylvania. I've broken those down for everybody that might not be familiar before. We have a Lake Erie zone, which sits up at the edge of the lake. We don't have a ton of lake frontage in this state, but everything along the shore and out into the water is considered the Lake Erie zone. We've got a north zone that is most of the state above Interstate 80. We have a northwest zone, which is a little chunk of area between the Lake Erie zone and the south zone, which the south zone is everything in the state south of Interstate 80. The northwest zone's kind of unique. There's a lot of lakes, reservoirs, refuges, rivers, tributaries, marshes. So they have a separate zone for that as well. And every zone except for Lake Erie zone opens October 11th. Lake Erie zone opens November 3rd. Through January 10th. Let's see, the North Zone is October 11th through 25th, and November 18th through January 10th. South Zone is October 11th through the 18th, and November 19th through January 19th. And the Northwest Zone is October 11th through November 28th and December 22nd. Early goose season opens September 1st through the 25th, and then opens back up October 25th through November 28th, December 15th through January 17th, and then January 30th through February 21st. That's the resident population. Let me see. I don't want to bore too many of you that aren't in Pennsylvania with all these numbers, but we've got some junior, veteran, and active duty military days. Lake Erie zone is October 25th. Northwest zone is September 27th. North zone, November 1st, and South zone, November 8th. And then there's also some veteran and military days. Lake Erie zone, January 17th, Northwest zone, January 17th, North zone, January 17th, and South zone, January 24th. I think that might've changed a little bit from last year. I think the dates were more scattered at the end for the end of season veteran and military days, but I'll have to go back and look at that. But between the goose seasons that start in September and the overlapping seasons in the four zones that run through the end of January and then a late goose season into February, we're talking, you know, 6 months straight you can chase waterfowl in Pennsylvania. So as I've mentioned before, you know, good or bad or indifferent, with the Atlantic flyway and Pennsylvania not being a major flyway for migration, that's a lot of time. And if you're willing to put the time in and figure it out, it's not too bad of a place to be waterfowl hunting. So I'm really looking forward to it. I got some trips planned and some big ideas, as always, with my Pennsylvania crew, Mike Pomaibo and Sean Graham. Really looking forward to kicking things off. And here we are getting into June now. We've got countdown less than 3 months to early goose season. So it's going to be here before we know it. That's about all I have for you for today. If you want to support the channel, I've started a Patreon. It's patreon.com/migrationwaterfowl. We've got different tiers over there. Obviously, there's a free tier, and then there's three more paid tiers if you want to support the show that way. I've been uploading some unique things over there that I haven't been posting anywhere else. And once we get that community built up over there, we'll start doing some giveaways and maybe even scheduling some hunts and some trips and things that we can do together. So go over there and check that out if you haven't. If you want to support me that way, like I said, I would greatly appreciate it. I usually say at the end of the show to make sure you go and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, in case you turn this off after the show's over and you don't hear the outro. I'll send you a Migration Waterfowl podcast decal if you leave a 5-star review and send me an email or message with your address. Let me know where you left the review, and I'll get that mailed out to you. I appreciate all of you that have been doing that. Really helps the show out. Helps me get recommended to other people so they can start enjoying the show as well. On this episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast, I'll be talking with Brian Melvin. Brian is an avid waterfowl hunter from New Jersey. We discussed the unique hunting seasons and regulations in New Jersey, Brian's journey of becoming a self-taught hunter, and the increasing black duck population in the area. Brian also shares memorable experiences from his duck hunts, the importance of scouting, and the unique challenges of flooded timber hunting. We talk about the community aspect of hunting in Brian's area and the various habitats that support waterfowl in New Jersey. We dive into the intricacies of waterfowl hunting, emphasizing the importance of scouting and tracking harvest numbers. Brian shares insights into the cultural traditions of waterfowl hunting in New Jersey, the challenges and joys of filming hunts, and the balance between hunting and capturing footage. Brian also reflects on the evolution of his brand, Timber Life Outdoors, and his aspirations for expanding his YouTube channel while maintaining a focus on quality content. We discuss our experiences and challenges over the waterfowl hunting season. We share personal insights about hunting trips, the importance of courtesy among hunters, and the excitement of upcoming adventures. We also touch on memorable hunting stories and the significance of having a hunting dog. Thank you to the good Lord for blessing us with another opportunity to get together for another episode. So let's get into episode number 58. Welcome back to another episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast. I appreciate you all coming back today and joining me. I've got a special guest today, Mr. Brian Melvin. How's it going today, Brian?
Doing great, Brian. Pleasure to meet you, man. Looking forward to having a good chat.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we were joking that I won't forget your name. So if I do, then I'm going to be in real trouble.
Yes, sir.
Are you in New Jersey today?
Yep. Up here in the north part of the state. Just got to, you know, I work in the city, so it's easy to just jump out and get home pretty quick.
So you've been getting a lot of this rain that we've been getting coming up the East Coast here?
You know, we didn't get any rain during duck season.
Of course.
And now we're getting hammered, right? And we're about to get another 2 or 3 inches. It's the way it always rolls. Destroyed our turkey season a little bit, lost about 2 weeks, and now we're going to get a little bit more. Yeah, man, it's been wet.
When does turkey open there?
This year was April 21st and ends the 20. It ended last Friday, a week from today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pennsylvania opens so late. It's crazy.
When do you got? I don't know.
It was the first weekend of May this year.
Oh, wow. And you guys go out when?
I think last Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's short.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only like a month, 4 weeks.
Yeah. New York is what? The 1st to the 31st. It's just always May, the full month.
Yeah.
But you guys are even shorter than that.
Yeah. Wow. I believe so. I didn't even look because I'm not a huge turkey hunter, but mm-hmm. I went over to Ohio this year just because I've got a deer lease over there. And
nice.
They opened up 2 weeks earlier in
okay.
PA.
Gotcha.
It's just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
The biologists say it's to, you know, help the breeding stock and
okay.
I don't know.
You know, between the states, the stuff between New Jersey and Pennsylvania is odd too. You guys can hunt bobcats. They're endangered somehow in New Jersey. So there's some wacky stuff back and forth. Our bear season's a week long. You guys have a lot, you know,
yeah.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
You get some
stuff. You had a spring bear hunt for a while, didn't you?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Or they did away with one of the bear hunts for a while.
Yeah, so they closed off. Yes, correct. They shut it down completely.
Okay.
They first shut it down on all state lands, then it was only private, and then they shut it down completely, and then realized that there was an actual reason for it. Like,
right.
Don't hold me to the numbers, but like the interactions, bear interactions with people went up like 270% or something in a
year.
Big
shock.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So
yeah.
It came back. They changed some rules. You know, we could bait, but we can't hunt over the bait. You know, you got to be over 100 yards from your bait. There's all kinds of stuff, but it's typical Jersey.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind taking a moment and just introduce yourself and let the listeners know anything you'd like them to know about you.
Sure. So, again, Brian Melvin here from Timberlife Outdoors. Avid waterfowl hunter, avid bow hunter. We're chasing pretty much everything we can up here in the Northeast. We do predominantly most of our hunting right here in New Jersey, PA, New York. I've been hunting not my entire life. A lot of people that I talk to get a little surprised at that. I didn't come from a hunting family. kind of came up by myself, starting from bird hunting early on and then kind of screwing up a lot. And none of my friends hunted, none of my family hunted, and kind of just had to get out in the woods and do it myself. And now I'm bringing a lot of friends into it and a lot of family into it. And that's kind of where Timberlife kind of got born, just bringing some friends out and regular people with, you know, 9-to-5 jobs and families just trying to carve out some time in the woods. That's pretty much, you know, who I am. I got a regular job just running around doing a thing. Reason I'm here is we do a lot of waterfowl hunting. We're grinding out as much as we can. We got a pretty solid network of guys that are, you know, scouting every day of the season, trying to find birds all over the state. We're going wherever we need to find birds. We do a lot with the dogs. We're competing with our dogs in the off seasons. We're doing a lot of training. That's kind of where that's how I started into waterfowl. I did a little other hunting before that, big game hunting and stuff like that. And then once I got into the dog game, it was kind of the natural progression, if you will. Right. I'm sure a lot of guys have done that, but, yeah, that's kind of the meat and the potatoes of who I am and what we do. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more of the details, but I'm probably a waterfowl hunter first who pretends like he's a deer hunter and a bear hunter. so we do a lot over here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I have a lot of friends out west. I do a lot of hunting in places like Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, and they think about the East Coast and especially places like New Jersey. They may have been through like the Newark airport or something.
Right.
And when they find out somebody hunts in New Jersey, they're like, well, where the heck are they hunting? It's either a boardwalk on the beach or next to New York City, right?
I get it all the time. All the time. Conversations I've had recently. It's just, same thing you're saying. Like, you shooting birds where? You shooting bears? What? Yeah, some crazy stuff.
So walk us through kind of how you came about figuring that out on your own. Like what sparked that?
Long story short, my gym teacher in my elementary school ran bird dogs, right? And that got me kind of like introduced to the outdoor world, but I was still too young to really hunt on my own. I followed him around. That got me really in love with dogs. My family's always big on dogs, but nobody hunted. So I came up, got old enough, you know, got out of college and the whole bit, and got my first hunting dog in my early 20s. And that was my gateway drug into the waterfowl world, if you will, getting into the hunt test, field trial game, and then, of course, that network of people, you're going to rub elbows with a lot of waterfowl hunters. And I've been a decent woodsman at that point. I knew the woods, but waterfowl hunting is a different animal altogether. It's just anyone that does it, they know the game. But that opened the door for the obsession, if you will. And then it was just trial and error, like anything else. Get out there, soak up as much as I can from the guys that I know have been doing it for so long. You know, as much resources as we can use. Internet is great now. Probably wasn't as big back then. Mm-hmm. It was mostly people. And I'm a little bit of an OCD guy, man. Once I do something, I kind of go 100%, and I go probably too much. My wife will probably tell you that. But yeah, it was hunting every day of the season, probably too much, doing things wrong, like crazy, overshooting, doing all kinds of, you know, pressure and holes, doing everything you could possibly do wrong. I've done it. So no judgment to anybody. Yeah. That's how you learn, right? You get through it. And that's where we're at now. And now we're grinding out here in New Jersey, trying to knock some birds down consistently. And we do pretty decent, but like, you know, it's like anywhere else. It's, I guess, I mean, I'm beating a dead horse. Everyone said it's 90% scouting, 10% hunting.
Right. Right. So going and figuring out waterfowl hunting is on your own is not easy. So did you meet some guys through the bird dog community and get out there with them, or did you kind of go on your own?
No, absolutely did. That was definitely my gateway into it. They introduced me to the game itself. And then just once I got my feet wet, it was realizing how hard it was to get, well, not necessarily private property, but access to certain locations, right? Duck hunting, there's a lot of tools and some things. Boats make things a lot easier. Other Argos, whatever you're going to use to get to different locations. But that was the next step, to find those spots, which, I mean, everybody knows in hunting, spots are sacred. I think with waterfowl, it's probably a couple notches higher, right? Sure. Nobody wants to give up those holes. So that's a lot of nights spent chasing tax maps and finding what you can see, what was available and so forth. But yeah, the guys in the dog game definitely opened up a couple close friends now that I met through that game, introduced me to the game, again, 20 years ago. And fell in love with it, and now it drives us every day. Again, the dogs keep me in it all the time, running around, doing the hunt tests and training. We're training a couple times a week and trying to keep them ready to go for the season. So my guys are kind of lucky at this point now. I run my dog, and I call, and I film. I barely shoot anymore. So it's but it's been a fun progression. Definitely loving it.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Bluebird Waterfowl, creator of The Animator. The Animator is revolutionizing the waterfowl community with the world's first spinning wing decoy conversion kit. Turn your existing spinner into a water motion decoy in seconds and learn how to finish more birds with the sound of water. Guaranteed to boost your hunt or your money back. Flaring birds with your spinner is a thing of the past. Try one risk-free at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or at your favorite local outdoor supplier. So what's your typical season look like? I know you chase a lot of deer and a lot of other critters.
Yeah.
How many days are you getting out there for waterfowl?
So deer season starts in Jersey for September, right? Middle of September. So I'm pretty focused on deer until middle of November, where our duck season opens up. We have an early split in October. It's like the wood duck week, but it's literally 5 days or 6 days, whatever it is. And then it goes back out again for 3 weeks. It doesn't start up until November. So I got a couple months there where I can chase deer and bear, pretty, you know, focus on them, and I don't have to lose anything on waterfowl. Once waterfowl kicks in, we're pretty much solid. Bear's only a week long, so again, it's the middle of October. I'm not losing anything for waterfowl. Once waterfowl kicks in November, it's pretty much full press. I'm not going to say we're out every day, but if we're not hunting, we're scouting every day. We're grinding pretty much the full 60. It goes middle of November to now the middle of January, which is great. They finally bumped it a week out.
Okay.
Because we all know that that later part of January usually gets a little better if we get some weather.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we're pushing pretty hard. We got a good crew of probably a dozen guys that are tracking the whole state.
Yeah.
Again, not just New Jersey, Delaware, PA, New York, wherever we can find birds. But, yeah, it's every day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So no early teal season. You just open up a week for wood ducks.
Yeah, I mean, you call it teal, wood duck, whatever you want, whatever that season is in October, but that's it. That's the only week you get outside of the normal split. And then we have a late goose season, but there is no teal earlier than that, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's weird. We don't have a teal season early on, but Ohio does, and I'm closer to Ohio than I am to where you're at.
Okay.
And I just always was fascinated by that, how these states decide, you know, we're going to have this season, but you're not, and whatever.
Right. I mean, we're loaded with green wings. We don't really see too many blues, but we're packed up with balls of the greenies flying through. So we do pretty good with those for the first couple of weeks, and then they kind of bail out. Woodies, we're same thing. You know, we're loaded up pretty good. So that first week, if you know, guys want some wall birds or something like that for some woodies, that's definitely the week to knock a couple down. But the big ducks don't show up until, you know, everywhere else. It doesn't, well, for us, it doesn't show, they don't show up good until December, January.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have a memorable duck hunt from the beginning that kind of sticks out, that kind of got you hooked on it?
Yeah, I absolutely do. First duck hunt ever actually was a wood duck hunt in that October season. One of the guys through the dog community took me out, and my dog was well trained at the time, but we had done a lot of upland hunting. I haven't done any duck hunting with him, and took him out, and it was a wood duck hunt. Shot my first wood duck, and I literally, like a light bulb, I was like, oh man, I need to do this every day. This is fantastic. Dog ran out, retrieved it, came back, and it was just everything came together kind of perfect, which doesn't always happen. And it was an epic perfect morning. I think we only shot three birds, but it was just, everything was just perfect for that first morning to be out. And from that point on, it was full press. And now he's, you know, we're all both onto a couple dogs later, and we definitely still hunt together and do the whole bang. So it's funny. I was talking to him the other day, and he's like, and I'm a little nutty with everything. I do a lot. He's like, man, he's like, you know, I introduced you 20 years ago, and he's like, now you're taking me, honey. You know, it's like, so but it's great. That's cool. Again, it brings a lot of people together.
So kind of walk us through the progression of the season. What are you seeing moving through? Like you said, the wood ducks and maybe some green-winged teal early.
Yeah.
What other species are you seeing as the season moves on, and when?
Okay, so I would say after that first split, the beginning of November, we're getting hammered with black ducks.
Mm.
They're coming through probably first. We have, I mean, the people, you know, call me a liar, whatever you want, but call it almost a problem with black ducks. We have so many black ducks. I sent you a picture earlier. Like that's, it's, I mean, we're letting 50 to 100 black ducks land, and just, we're not pulling the trigger. Like, again, we can only shoot two. And it's just, you know, we're not going to play with them. But then the green tops show up probably if the ice line's coming down fast enough, they're going to follow up behind them. Usually that middle to end of December, we start seeing the first waves of green tops, decent waves. And then, I'm probably right around that same time, we'll start seeing some mix of gadwalls and our pintails, and they're starting to show up at the beginning of January. And that's pretty much what we're going to see in the puddle ducks. Divers, we're going to see them probably again that later part of the season in January. They show up heavy, very heavy. That was last 2 weeks. All of a sudden we'll be in a hole and we'll have no ring necks. And then the next day there'll be, you know, 200 sitting in a hole. But then all the divers show up again. We're doing a lot of puddle duck hunting. We do very little layout, like shore hunting, like a lot of the guys in Jersey Shore do. I have guys that go down there. We do go down for a couple hunts a year, but that's not kind of our core. We do a lot of puddle duck. We travel out to the Northwest a little bit along the Delaware, do a lot of timber hunting, trying to chase the water as much as we can to find feeds. And we know where the food has been historically, where the birds are going to want to stage up, and kind of wait for the water to come up to where it needs to be for the birds to be staging in those spots, and we kind of chase those spots. It works out well as long as we get water. Last year was a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's sounds the migration of birds and the dates that you're mentioning are kind of similar to what we're seeing over here too.
Okay.
In the western side of PA. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So in the last 20 years, what has been your observation with the black duck? It seems like, you know, they don't talk about there being a big increase of them, but everybody I talk to that hunts them on the East Coast said they're just everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Again, I have that 20 years to pull from, and it has been a steady incline. I at least in my spot,
yeah,
in our area, they definitely have gotten so thick. I would say in the last 6 to 7 years, severely increasing. I mean, mornings that we're just seeing hundreds of black ducks, and we're just like, we're not even picking up the guns. Like, we're like waiting. Again, we'll scout, you know, get up in the morning and before work, if we can't hunt that day, we're going to go out and sit a hole and see what's going to be showing up for the next day or whatever day we're going to get out. And, you know, 300 birds are in the hole, but they're all black ducks. And we're like, all right, like, yeah, we're out of here, man. We're just not, it's not going to, if you're going to bring four guys in there and shoot, you know, 8 birds and you'll be done in like 7 minutes.
Right.
We're looking for something else if we, you know, if we can. Listen, that's an awesome hunt. I'm not, by no means am I saying that's not.
But sure. It's
you want to change it up a little bit. Yeah. You just want to change
it
up.
It's all relative.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to change
it up. I've got friends from out west that are like, man, I would kill to get a black duck. And
right.
And I tell them, you know, we do pretty good on them here.
Yeah.
I said, but if you go a little bit further east of us, guys are just covered up in them, man.
They are. It is. It's getting better. I mean, God bless. I you know, I hope they open up. If they open up the limits, then it changes the game a little bit, right? But
sure,
we can shoot 2. If we can start shooting 4 and, you know, pick them out. I know we've talked to a bunch of wardens and they're like, ah, you can't really tell them apart in the sky, blah, 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 you know, the hens. I get it. But it's the numbers are inclined. Definitely increasing. Definitely increasing.
Well, maybe we'll get a surprise some year like they did with the pintail this year. We went from 1 to 3. So
hey, that's
gonna,
awesome.
That's going to be wild.
It would be great. It would be great. I think next year. Oh, well, we lost geese. Geese is going back down to 1 for us.
Hmm.
I don't think there's any changes, big changes with ducks yet, but fingers crossed.
This episode is also brought to you by the Duck Hole & Company, attracting feathers together. They are a full-service habitat company located in North Carolina. If you have questions about waterfowl habitat or need some work done on your property, contact them through any of their social media platforms at the Duck Hole and Company. They can also fix you up with golden millet, also known as the duck buffet, and the best bang for your duck. So you mentioned flooded timber. That's something that's going to get our southern friends a little bit hot under the collar.
Yeah.
They say their only real flooded timber is down where they're at. So talk a little bit about that habitat that you're hunting.
Beg to differ. I'm not going to say we're sitting, you know, leaning up against a cypress, but we can do some damage if you know where the water is and where, you know, where the birds are going to be sitting on those acorn flats and whatnot, and the water can get to there. You can do pretty well. Again, it's all about scouting and having the tools to get to those locations. Some guys don't have those tools and it kind of limits it. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of mud rigs and an Argo, and we can get to some places that, you know, help us out in that fashion. But yeah, there's plenty available. If the water is, you know, again, as we're long, we're getting 6 or 8 inches of rain within those 2 months, we can do pretty well. If you look at my page, there's plenty of proof of it. We stack them up pretty good. We're good for a few hundred birds every year in the timber.
It's
not Arkansas. I never said it was, I never would, but it is flooded timber. We're standing knee deep in water, leaning up against an oak tree and knocking birds down, pretty consistently in there. It's a lot of fun. I mean, once I bring a couple people in there that I've never done it, it's different kind of shooting and it's a blast. The guys down the shore, like Jersey's really known for its shore hunting, right? The divers, that's a big thing, the layouts. And then you bring a couple of those guys that are awesome. I feel like it's a different, completely different game, right? It's different
tools. For sure.
It really is. Bring those guys up, you know, and do some timber hunting. There's timber all throughout the state. You just gotta do the homework and find it. But yeah, it's around. I've had people say what you just said. You're like, you're lying. I'm lying. Okay.
Well, it's probably more of a natural flooded area that ebbs and flows on its own, right?
Correct.
Yeah, we have the same situation here. I think the difference is when people get in the semantics of it, a lot of places in the South are being purposely, they're putting water on dormant trees and then flooding it off and taking it off when they start to get greened up again. So
100%.
I get that for sure. But I always like to rib my southern buddies a little bit when we get into that.
No doubt. No doubt. I've sent some pictures to my buddies that are duck hunters, but they only do maybe a couple trips a year, and they go out to Arkansas, and they went out and they did good. They shot a string of greenheads, and I'll show them a picture, and we got five guys that limited out on greenheads here in Jersey. I'm like, you didn't have to go that far. We just did the same thing in the trees. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's there. It's there.
I'm still just sitting here picturing 300 black ducks in the hole. A morning.
Yeah, there's a lot. I got a bunch of clips that are going to be going up on the page, and a bunch of stuff on the YouTube channel, some hunts, some waterfowl hunts from this past season that I just haven't gotten to yet. I've been getting through some bear hunts and deer hunts and stuff. But awesome. guys will see, we're passing a lot of pretty significant amount of black ducks that we're just cherry picking until the sun comes way up. We're not, and then waiting for those greenheads to shine and see if we can pick them up.
Sure. So. Yeah, you mentioned using an Argo. I think that's a really underutilized tool for waterfowl hunters.
Big time. I think it's a wonderful tool if you availability. It's expensive, but it's a great tool if you can get it into locations on private property and stuff. And sometimes, you could use it other places. Don't get me wrong, but some of the state land you can't have motorized vehicles, right, and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that limits its use. But if you have good tracks of private or whatever, it's fantastic. It really is. We have some private farms that we can jump on and hauling gear and dogs and stuff. It's through flooded timber or flooded fields or whatever that it's priceless.
Yeah.
That you can't get a boat in. Yeah.
Sure.
It helps. Definitely helps.
So you mentioned chasing mostly puddle ducks. What's that look like? Are you concentrating on a lot of marshes, or are you getting into some rivers and lakes as well?
Yeah. All the above. Again, all three of those things are pretty prevalent up here in the northwest of New Jersey. We got a lot of river systems. There's a lot of marshes and swamps, and there's plenty of lakes. A lot of the lakes are rocky-ish, so the puddle ducks aren't really loving that, right? They're looking for more of that sandy or dirt bottoms.
Moist soil. Yeah.
Right. But it's definitely river systems and a lot of marsh fields and a lot of swamps that definitely hold some birds with the right amount of rain. We're chasing that water constantly. I know I've said it a few times, but it's really, we're chasing water gauges every day, making sure what holes are going to fill in. We got spreadsheets of where, certain water levels, this hole's going to be full, this one's going to be full, so we can kind of limit our scouting down. We know those aren't going to have any water in them, so don't even go check them, so forth and so forth, so we can kind of use our time well. But yeah, those are the three big areas that we're kind of focusing most of our attention on.
Yeah. Are you a numbers guy? Do you keep track? Do you keep a journal or anything of like your total harvest every year?
Yeah, yes, we do. A lot of the dog guys are big on it, how many trees they get for the year and so forth.
Right.
I mean, I've definitely gotten less about it over the years, more like rounding the numbers. Hey, we shot 12, all right, we shot 10 ducks today, and then throw it on the sheet, whatever. But yeah, we keep a tally every year and try and get a good idea of, how we did and what we did. So it's a hobby, if you will. It's a little fun thing. We do a lot with the geese too, because we have the last 2 weeks of our season is a late goose season. We can do 5 birds a guy per day, which is great. You get a good group of guys and a nice hide, and we can stack up a pretty nice pile. And that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. We got some good properties for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like to clarify that because, most of us don't care about the numbers, but it's an interesting way to figure out, kind of get a picture of the what the duck hunting numbers are like in your area. Like, what would be a decent year for one guy there if they worked pretty hard?
For one guy? You mean like one single guy with no help?
No, just like an average for one person's take for the year. If that makes sense.
Well, that's a good way to break it down. I don't know if I ever broke it down that way.
Like some people always like will put an arbitrary number on, like I want to shoot 100 ducks this year or 50 ducks or whatever is like decent for their area.
Yeah. I mean, again, my numbers that I have in my head are from my, my group for our hunts that we go on.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of where I'm. I don't do individual numbers. I'm not about numbers. I'll keep numbers, but I don't really care. Individually, I would say it's pretty safe. Oh man, that's a tough one. if you're going to do the work and you can, and you're going to spend the time, I don't think it's hard. I don't think it's impossible to shoot 100 ducks. It's not impossible. As a single person, right. If you have a group, you can do way. I mean, again, it's all about being efficient, right? One person is hard to cover a lot of area. Mm-hmm. Again, scouting, we're doing 90% scouting, 10% hunting. If we can't scout, we don't hunt. It's just a waste of our time. Especially camera gear, the dogs, the whole bit. We're not going to just go pick a spot on the map and go like, all right, well, let's go check it out. Now we'll scout it for 2-3 days, see what kind of pattern we got, where the feed's moving, what the water level's doing. You know, I'm preaching to the choir, but it's that's definitely more of our game. But yeah, you could definitely do it. Definitely do it. And again, what part of the state? I mean, if you're going to include divers, that number can jump drastically. If you're going to go down the shore and really get into those birds, you know, those guys do really well.
Okay.
Really well, which is it's a whole new game. Totally new game.
Yeah. You also mentioned the Delaware River. I know there's a lot of history and tradition on the Pennsylvania side.
Yeah.
Is there a big waterfowl tradition in your area, or do you run with guys that kind of come from any of that?
I would say the main waterfowl tradition for New Jersey is that shore area.
Okay.
The Tuckerton, you know, warehouse area, all that whole shore spot. That's what really, when you talk about New Jersey duck hunting, that's what everyone focuses on the Roy boats and everything down there. The puddle duck hunting is definitely big within a small niche. The river is a wonderful resource, and there's a good crew of guys, or relatively small crew of guys, but there's a good crew of guys that run it. It's not easy hunting. You have to have the right boats and the right gear and whatever, because the birds are moving constantly. But yeah, I would say the really rich tradition of New Jersey duck hunting is that shore area. It's ingrained pretty heavy into those communities down there. It's pretty neat, because I did not grow up down there. I did not grow up in that community. So going down there and learning from those guys, and even hearing about it and reading about it, there's some really, really deep roots down there into that. And it's really cool stuff that we don't do a lot of. Again, I mentioned we don't do the shore stuff a lot. We get out with a couple of buddies and we book some hunts and have some fun with it. It's a blast.
Right.
But the tradition is super thick down there.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
I'm always fascinated by the different things that come out of each location. They may not even be a few hundred miles apart, but they'll have completely different decoys from that time period, and you know, different gear and different approaches. So yeah, like you said, super interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The carvers down there are world renowned. Mm-hmm. And the boat builders are, again, world renowned for that shore game. And I know nothing of it. I'm not going to pretend like I do. I know what I know, and I know what I don't know. And that whole world is, it's pretty neat to me. I get schooled on it all the time, and I'm always welcome to, because you learn something new every time I talk to someone from down there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. This episode is also brought to you by Rigam Wright Waterfowl, producers of the most well-designed and well-built products, tried and tested by the most heavily seasoned hunters on the planet. Their mission has always been and will always be to design, build, and supply the most innovative and high-performance hunting products available at a reasonable price. They will not succumb to outside pressure to cheapen their products, and will continue to take bold steps and huge risks to separate themselves from their competition. They dominate in customer service, knowing that their end-use customers are the very backbone of their existence. Above all else, they operate with honesty and integrity and treat people fairly, never compromising these principles in pursuit of profit. Check them out at rigamright.com or your favorite local outdoor retailer. So talk a little bit about Timber Life Outdoors and how that came about.
So Timber Life was just born out of my drive to get into the filming concept. I had filmed for a while, enjoying it, just messing around more or less, enjoying some of the hunts that I would put together just for friends or whatever. And then I was like, you know what, this is like something I really enjoy doing. I enjoy chasing animals. I got a whole bunch on the wall, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, there's that, there's the thrill of that, but I have gotten obsessed with being behind the camera and kind of putting a story together. And that kind of led me into meeting with some producers and some people that helped me out with pointing me in the right direction of how to get started and what tools needed and what gear and all that good stuff, which is a podcast in itself. but then I just, then it was just reaching out to the guys and my whole network of friends and trying to see, like, you know, guys, like, let's put this together, see if we can consistently be successful and maybe teach some people or help some people, or maybe they can teach us, but let's put ourselves out there and see if we can have some fun with it, which my guys are being great with it. Half of the waterfowl guys are like, leave the freaking cameras at home. Forget the cameras. Get out. And then all of a sudden we have an epic hunt. And I send them the clips. They're like, oh, that was pretty cool, man. That was pretty great. Yeah. You know that. Yeah. But yeah, Timberlife was based out of that whole concept of just a group of guys and women that are the regular Joes that are just carving out some time between, you know, work and family and trying to put some successful hunts in New Jersey. And again, there's some stuff out there from New Jersey, but there's not a lot. And like you said earlier, when people talk about New Jersey, they're like, you're hunting people or animals? There's animals there. What are you talking about? You know? So it was just an opportunity to have some fun with it. And we'll see, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So we'll see what it does and have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned some of the waterfowlers getting frustrated with the cameras.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, like this whole game of, you know, filming or social media.
Yeah.
And we all have our opinions on it, but it seems like it's about half the guys are like, get those cameras away from me, get that social media crap away from me. It's either you're into it or you're not. And it's kind of a defined line with waterfowl hunters for sure.
It is like you said, it's a double-edged sword for sure. And I find myself always walking that knife edge of, you know, again, we talked about this via text a little bit back and forth about spot burning, and, you know, you're putting out pictures, you're putting out videos of spots.
Right.
Guys are, you know, ruthless, which, listen, they're scouting. It is what it is, but you never want to give up something that you've worked for a long time. So that's, you know, it's part of the game as a whole. But yes, some guys are like, forget it, don't do it. But we do our best to, you know, still put some stuff together and make it fun, but at the same time, not give away a lot of stuff. But yeah, a lot of my guys are like, you're not bringing the camera there today. There's no way you're not doing it. All right, man, no problem.
Yeah, it's something that you have to really pay attention to, especially when you're editing.
Yes.
I mean, if you can avoid it while you're filming, that's great. But sometimes you'll pick up a landmark or something by accident.
Yeah.
And I'm just always fascinated by the people out there that like study that stuff. Like, I think I recognize that cove, the way that's shaped. It's like, why? Okay, if you do, just be quiet.
That's
like,
it. What? That's it.
You know, I'm trying to keep this as, you know, unidentifiable as possible, right?
If you know, that's awesome. You didn't learn it from the video, you just recognize it. Like, keep it to yourself, man. I posted some pictures and I've had some messages and guys would be like, and I appreciate that it's a private message. They'll be like, oh, you were blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I was, man. That's awesome. If you're there too, that's great. You know, it's public. So, you know, if you want to hook up or whatever, you know, let's talk. Great conversations. Then there's always a couple guys that, you know, on a social media forum, and they're like, oh, you were at so-and-so, you used this ramp. Dude, what? Come on. Why did you put that on that thing?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword in this game, you know. We're all storytellers, whether it's we like to film or do podcasts and meet people and talk to people.
Sure.
People, I don't know. It's a weird thing where you think that you're doing something positive and some people just think it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. It's tough. Again, I'm going to put out a bunch of videos here, and I know my couple of my buddies, I'm going to send it to the crew first and be like, all right, you guys, is there anything in here you're going to want me to take out? What, I got to cut anything out? I know what's coming already, but yeah, it's that fine line. You got to walk and try and keep everyone happy if you can, if that's even possible.
So do you normally, I guess if you have a crew, you always have somebody at least running the camera, kind of dedicated cameraman, or do you take turns?
You're looking at them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm running the camera every time pretty much right now. Maybe one or two of the guys might step up this year. I don't know if they want to put the gun down, but yeah. Well, you can't do both. You just can't.
That's a fact.
Yeah, you can't do it. Luckily enough, my dog is good enough where I don't need to, you know, I can run him with my eyes closed and I can run the camera, but you can't. Mm-hmm. You're either shooting or you're on the camera. You have to pick one.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can jump in a little bit, but yeah, it's been predominantly me the whole time. Again, I'm hoping one or two jumps in this year. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I did 13 videos this past season.
That's awesome.
All with a couple of GoPros and a handheld and even my phone for some things.
Okay.
But, and mad respect, there's a lot of guys out there doing the solo game and doing a great job, but there's just something 100% different about having a dedicated camera guy that just catches everything.
Yeah.
Me, I like the stories. I know some people don't have the attention span. They want to get on YouTube, watch a bunch of ducks die, and move on to the next video, which is fine. Everybody has their opinion. But I like to see the guys getting out in the morning, getting the trailer hooked up, cooking breakfast in the dark before the sun comes up, you know?
That's all part of it, man. That's the big part
of it. And it's hard to do all of that when you're running a solo game. It really is.
I'll be completely honest here. We took a trip to Rhode Island this year for an eider hunt, and it was awesome hunt. We booked an outfitter up there. They were phenomenal. Marsh River Outfitters, they were phenomenal. We limited out every day, all four guys. It was beautiful. Anyway, outside of that, I was filming, right? Knowing that I was going up there to film, but knowing I just wanted to shoot a couple birds, put one on the wall, one on a nice, you know. Well, it got the better of me where I was like, oh, let me just shoot for a little bit and then I'll just film a little bit. Nah, I did neither very well. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to pick and go for it. And I missed a bunch of those moments where we're at the ramp. The guys were getting dressed. We're all, you know, jiving a little bit, having some fun. Everybody's poking fun at 4 o'clock in the morning. Those are the good stuff. That's the fun stuff, man.
Yeah.
And I missed a bunch of that and some clips and stuff. And I realized, I was like, all right, you got to either do it or don't do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a friend, Lucas, that runs a company called Broken Straw Media. Uh-huh. And he's starting to get a lot more experiences and exposure with some bigger companies.
Awesome.
And I've considered hiring him this year, at least for a couple of hunts, because it would just be, I think, something completely different to have somebody worried about all the filming.
Yeah.
And I can just worry about the hunt. And then I can edit it afterwards. I mean, he's probably far and above away a much better editor than me, but at least I'm not trying to do two things when I'm editing.
I hear you. I get it. The editing is an art in itself.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Again, I hooked up with Tom Petrie and those guys over at Become One and a couple of those guys, and been taking a bunch of their classes, going out with them in Ohio this year for their class and the production class. And also, and I've learned a ton from them. But, man, what a learning curve.
Yeah.
What a learning curve.
Yeah, I had Billy Campbell on from Dr. Duck, and he was talking about the cameramen that they get from some of the internships from some of the bigger companies. And that got the wheels turning. I'm like, man, that's the way to do it. It's
hell yeah.
Obviously, with a smaller brand just getting things going here, it's hard to have the available funds to kind of throw around. But I think it's going to be worth it just to have somebody on a couple of hunts, especially if you take some big trips to some epic places. It'd be nice to
absolutely
give somebody $1,500 for the week and
hell yeah.
Get some amazing footage.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And like you said, some of the camera gear itself, you know, doing a solo gig, it's hard. And then I dumped a pile. I just was either do it or don't do it. Dumped a pile into the mirrorless game. And I mean, I'd use the camcorder stuff, you know, some high end camcorder stuff, but compared to the mirrorless, the full frame mirrorless for that low light early mornings for ducks. Mm-hmm. I don't see why you would use anything else. I mean, it's night and day.
Right.
Absolutely night and day. And it really changed my footage, being able to get those first 15 minutes of light with a lot of the camcorder style that I was using. Some good cameras, but it was just too dark. And, you know, it got all grainy and you tried to lighten it up. But that full frame stuff, I can't wait to post it up.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's the difficult balance. You know, you've got a budget that you can work within, especially being a newer brand. And
it's, man. Yeah, it's hard.
You look at the prices of some of that stuff, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Now,
and then, And then you get into the lens, you know, just the cameras, and then you're looking at lenses, and then you're looking, it adds up way too fast.
Yep.
Way too fast.
Yeah, another friend of mine, Brian Ellithorpe, he owns Brian Ellithorpe Media. He just bought a huge lens. I'm trying to remember even what size it is, but the thing is enormous. But I couldn't believe he bought it used.
Okay.
And I guess that's a smart thing to do, as long as you can find somebody that's reliable and not going to sell you a piece of junk. But yeah, like you said, the lenses are just incredible. But he's got some beautiful photos, and he's got his own channel, and he's doing a lot of work with like Tangle Free and a lot of other big brands now. So it's very, I'm very fortunate to have a lot of good people to pick their brains. I just,
that's huge.
I just don't have the time or the money to take it where I want to yet.
I hear you. It's hard, man. It's hard. I got to hit lotto so I could just do this and just play all day.
Absolutely. That would solve a few problems.
That'd be great.
Yeah. This episode is also brought to you by Flight Day Ammunition. Flight Day Ammo was born in the heart of the Mississippi Flyway in West Central Missouri. Founder Ben Myers and his family have duck hunted this region of the country for over 50 years. Ben's passion for quality ammunition led to the development of his own brand. Flight Day utilizes the best components in the ammo industry, which provides unmatched quality, patterns, and lethality. Check them out at flightdayammo.com and be sure to use discount code MW10 at checkout to save 10%. So I noticed on your YouTube channel, you've got some really, at least I think, some quality videos so far. What's your goals for expanding that over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so the last couple of videos I put up were all the new camera gear. A bunch of the turkey stuff earlier was the older stuff. So yeah, that's why I made the investment to just buy some really high-end gear. And I'm going to be updating some of it, actually, that's less than a year old shortly. Just because if I'm going to put it out again, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it hard. I'll do it really, you know, big and go for it. Again, just to put out some quality stuff to show what Jersey's all about. If I, you know, the sponsor game and monetizing and all that stuff is great. It is not my driving force in this. It's more about putting out really good quality stuff first.
Sure.
And what comes after is fantastic. I don't pay my bills by doing this by any means. If anything, it's not helping my bills. But this is just a love for the thing. And if anything comes after, I met some great people so far, you know, dealing with the guys at Sever and some big companies, and they've been awesome with helping me out in some ways. It's a game in itself, the marketing aspect of this media side. It's right. I mean, I'm no preaching doubt. To the choir here. You're light years ahead of me right now, and it's a full-time gig. I mean, just to keep up. So again, the monetizing aspect is wonderful and it's a goal, but it is not my driving force.
Sure. Yeah. Hats off to those guys that can start from where we're at now and take it to the next level. Guys like Chad Belding.
Right.
I mean, I could go on name a list of guys that started from nothing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, not to say that I wouldn't want to be there, but you're right. That's not why any of us start this.
Right.
You know, we just want to tell our story and have fun. And
yep.
I always say the people are the best thing about it. Just meeting new people and couldn't hearing their story from around the country. And that turns into me ending up, you know, in their areas and hunting with them. And it's awesome. Just been...
Yeah,
you know, you can't buy that kind of stuff.
You cannot. You cannot. And you mentioning people. One of my favorite things that's come out of this is the filming side of it, where I have all this raw footage now, and I have some videos that I'm putting together. And all of a sudden, I have people that come over, or if I'm going somewhere, and I know it's a group of hunters, men, women, whatever, and I'll bring a drive over my computer, and after a barbecue or whatever, we throw up a big screen and we're watching all these videos and all this raw stuff and all the jive and all that. Cool. And that's like the best. That's like, it really is a blast every time we do it. So that part of it always is a huge motivation.
Very cool. Yeah. That buck that you shot, that was a really nice buck for New Jersey. It was like a 160, I think.
It was a good one. Yes, sir. It was right on button 160. It was a good one. There's people don't realize Jersey. I mean, there's a 200s that are shot every year in Jersey.
Sure.
People just don't, you know, they're not talked about very much and they're not posted.
Right.
Right. but there's some good bucks that are taken out of here. I mean, let's not compare it. It's not. I mean, you guys in Ohio definitely have probably a notch above us, and there's a whole bunch more. But there's respectable deer in New Jersey that a lot of people don't realize. So
right.
And our season's crazy long. You know, middle of September, all the way to the middle of February.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's getting better, but that's one of the reasons I started hunting in Ohio.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's been over 25 years. Well, about 25 years now.
Okay.
It is different game, different genetics, different mindset, less hunters, less pressure.
Absolutely.
For the most part. I mean, obviously public's tough, but
sure.
I've been real blessed to own a couple of farms over there and get on some big leases over the years. So
that's amazing.
I really like whitetails. Obviously, waterfowl is my love, but it's hard to stop hunting those big bucks.
I agree with you. I'm like we were talking about schedules and you know how seasons break down. I am very lucky that we don't have a spring teal season. Or, I'm sorry, early teal season, because I'd be conflicted. Like I can hopefully get my whitetail fix in before middle of November. And as long as hopefully I can get it done before then, I mean, listen, if I'm chasing a giant, it's going to teeter into duck season a little bit, but, I focus on that and then we switch over, but yeah, it's hard to not chase these things. It's a blast. It is definitely a blast.
Yeah. I'm sitting on 5 points in Iowa. I guess a couple weeks I'll be finding out if I draw.
All right.
5 years later.
Oh man. I have eight and I haven't put in yet. And okay. I got to do
you'll
it.
You'll be good.
Yeah. Right now I got a 2 year old and we got another one coming. So I got, not this, he's coming in September. It's going to cause a little bit of havoc for me, but I'll get through it. And then maybe the year after it's either going to be Wyoming.
Some bad planning, man.
Tell me.
Congratulations, but bad planning.
Tell me about it. I tried.
I was pretty lucky. My daughters were born in March and May.
Oh, perfect. God bless. Yeah. Perfect. I should have followed your lead.
It happens.
Absolutely, man. No, it'll be good stuff. We'll get through it. Lauren's an absolute saint. She deals with my insanity. So
yeah.
I'll disappear for a couple of weeks and then we'll get back after it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So what's next? Do you have some big trips planned this year?
No, nothing. Well, we're going up to New York. We're going up to Finger Lakes for waterfowl stuff. We're going to Finger Lakes to go do a golden eye hunt. Looking forward to that. We might be going up. We might go to Maine for some eiders again. I got invited to go out to North Dakota to do mallards in the field. That's something I've never done. I really would like to do that. I'm trying to put that together. I think it's the third week in October right now. There's 20 guys that are going. It's a corporate trip. It looks awesome. I'm trying to wheel and deal that one right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I say wheel and deal, I mean with the wife, right? So,
sure.
But that'll be fun. I don't, you know, shooting greenheads we can do in Jersey, but we don't do it in the fields. So that one will be cool. Those are the big trips for that. No big, big game this year outside of anything in Jersey. I'm not going anywhere for that.
Yeah.
We'll be chasing some big bears again. Hopefully we got a lot after that. I got some guys coming in for that. But other than that, it'll be a couple waterfowl trips here. And then the following year, once the new baby settles in a little bit, I'll be going either Wyoming or Iowa. We'll see which one clicks.
Okay.
Yeah. So looking forward.
Yeah. There was a few years back. There's an overlap between, Canada geese and ducks. And we were hunting the field for geese and it was just raining down snow, like almost no visibility.
Uh-huh.
And we had some, geese patterned and they come in and we shot a few of them. And just all of a sudden these mallards started dive bombing into this field where the geese were. And it was like, I had never experienced anything like that in Pennsylvania before. And it was just one of those days like, man,
that's epic.
This is really cool having these ducks come in the field like this.
I have yet to happen. Killed a lot of ducks, and I have never done that yet. So I'm jealous.
Pretty cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was stationed in North Dakota when I was in the Air Force before I got into waterfowl hunting. And now I'm like, man, I lived there for 2 years back in the 90s.
Oh, man.
Like, I got to get out there and hunt there. I've never hunted there. I've hunted South Dakota,
okay,
Nebraska, Montana, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But never made it back to North Dakota to hunt, so I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, I keep hearing some good things. I'm seeing some good pictures, and that the guys have been talking about. Two of the guys from my group that I have not done this trip, they go down to Texas with Spec Ops, I think is the outfitter.
Okay.
Anyway, but that's an incredible trip too. I definitely want to get on that. The pintail are thick and they're just having a blast. Hey, the list is long. Got to keep chipping away.
No doubt.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, that lottery thing would help out a lot of that too.
I'm trying, man. I got everything crossed right now. Definitely.
Cool, man. Well, anything else that we didn't talk about that you want to mention?
You mentioned the one thing in regards to, you know, bird numbers for a single person. That got me thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
In the concept of, you know, a person coming into I'm speaking for New Jersey specifically. You know, anywhere else, I'm sure it's the same. I just can't compare it to the same context that, you know, the pressure of hunting and people will definitely influence those things. I would say there is a lot of ground within the public domain that you can find that you can do really well on. I would just say, you know, us as hunters probably have to do a little bit, specifically waterfowl hunters, because we run into some situations that just don't need to happen. That we can do a little bit better, just kind of helping each other out, if we will. And like, you know, you were talking about the social media aspect being negative, where it doesn't necessarily have to be. That would be like the big thing. If I'm going to harp on something or bring it up again, it drives me crazy, because I'm always kind of going out of my way to help somebody out or bring someone new out or something. I bring someone new out and then, you know, four guys blow up in a boat 10 minutes before shooting light. And, you know, there's an argument that happens because they scouted it 4 days before and you're here now. Like, what, dude, what are we talking about? You know, that kind of stuff. So just, we're all here to have fun, enjoy it, do what we can to help each other out.
Yeah. Yeah. The courtesy has to be number one. I mean, if someone beats you to the hole, they beat you to the hole. You'll get them next time.
100%.
Give them some space. It's not hard.
That's it, man.
Or go to another place if there's not enough room.
That's it. Absolutely. I'm a big communication guy. Like, if I meet somebody new in a piece that we've been hunting forever, listen, here's my number, man. Let's talk. Make sure we're not stepping on each other's toes. If we can hook up, let's hook up. If not, you know, whatever. Let's just make sure we're helping each other out. Usually it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We run into that too, and it's like, hey, there's only two of us, there's two of you, why don't you sit on here with us?
Jump in.
I'd rather them be here with us and taking turns than to be sky blasting 50 yards away and
100%
calling at the wrong time. And
100%.
Yeah.
Agreed, man. Agreed.
That's frustrating.
It is. That would be the only thing I would say that would affect those numbers that we spoke about.
Yeah, yeah. So,
outside of that, no, I think we covered everything. One thing, are you in the dog game? I touched on it a little bit, you know, you don't run, do you run a dog or?
Nope.
No.
Cause our season, especially Pennsylvania, I'm not sure. Do you guys still have, no Sunday hunting?
Yes. No Sunday hunting.
Yeah. Same with us. So our waterfowl hunting was so limited for years, and, you know, being a deer hunter and getting into waterfowl later in life, it just, it never made sense for me to get one.
Okay.
But now that my daughters are grown and in college, one's in med school.
Okay.
And I've got a lot more time. It's something that I'm definitely thinking about. But
awesome.
Yeah, I haven't taken that on yet.
Okay. Yeah, that's a whole
nother. I'm usually the dog. I have to go out and retrieve the birds.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah, that's a whole nother game in itself and changes a lot. I don't even, at this point, I won't even go duck hunting without a dog.
Oh, yeah.
It adds a whole nother element to it.
100%.
Even if it's not my dog, it's one of my guys that have a good dog. I mean, there's a difference between a dog that should be out there and a dog that shouldn't be out there. That's a whole nother podcast in itself. But having the dog out there, my last dog passed away and I had like a year gap where I missed one season with a new puppy, which will never, ever happen ever again. That was the worst season of my life. But yeah, no, I was just curious if you were into that. If you're not, if you do get into it, let me know, man. We got a bunch of good connections
up
and down the coast for some good breedings and some good stuff. I've got my thumb on the pulse. So
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I was a dog handler in the Air Force.
Oh, beautiful. All right. So, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I've been in law enforcement since I got out.
God bless.
And I always thought that I would work with a dog. There was a couple departments that I worked for over the years that talked about getting dogs, but it just never worked out and kind of went by the wayside. But yeah,
got it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've always grown up with dogs. I've had dogs my whole life, and definitely something now that I'm having some more time in my life. 4 years from retirement here. So.
Wow, man, God bless you. I'm jealous. Good for you, man.
We'll see.
That's amazing. We'll
see what happens.
Chase a lot more ducks. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Good deal.
I'm excited to announce that AV's Hunting is now the official hunting clothing and camo of Migration Waterfowl. The unmatched quality of their high-performance fabrics and direct-to-consumer sales model delivers high-end gear at wholesale pricing. Their unique camouflage pattern was built from the sky down, mimicking the natural camouflage of a hen mallard. Check out their innovative line of technical waterfowl clothing and their revolutionary refuge camo at avshunting.com. That's AVESHunting.com. Advanced waterfowl gear designed for every condition. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you while waterfowl hunting? Or just a favorite story, if you can't think of anything crazy.
Crazy. Wow. Okay. Crazy. Let's say I do one quick in regards to craziness. There is a spot in New Jersey that is not an area in which people necessarily associate with duck hunting, but a lot of people drive through it, and it's incredible duck hunting. I'm going to leave it at that. And if you know it, if people know what I'm talking about, they already know the spot right now. So that being said, there is mud in this location that is world renowned within the duck hunting community.
I know where this is going.
Okay, yeah. So mud, everybody knows in the woods, swamps, that's fine. This is a whole nother level. This is one of those things where, I was introduced to the area and, had a chip on my shoulder. I was in pretty, good shape back in the day and, early 30s and, grit the gals. It's mud. Okay. Nah. You step out, you go get a duck and you sink and you just keep going and you don't stop.
Yeah.
And you just keep going. That was one of the craziest things where it was the first time in my hunting career where I literally was like, this is going to be a massive problem in about 3 minutes. It's not fun. And the guys are laughing and then all of a sudden they realized it's serious. We need to get the boat. And with three guys and a boat and they still couldn't get me up, I was like, oh man, this is never again. It was one of those things where your ego got the better of me. Never happened again. That was one of the dicier situations. And then outside of that, crazy. I'm trying to think crazy.
It always makes me nervous whenever you're joking around about something like the mud or another serious kind of teetering on a serious situation.
Yeah.
But when that real laughter goes to nervous laughter.
Yeah.
That's like the worst part. You're like, oh, crap.
Here we go.
I didn't want to get involved in this today.
Yep. No, that was exactly that situation. I was laughing at first, too. And literally, it went past, I was wearing waders, and it went up past my knees, and then my thighs. Then it was past my waist. Then it was getting up around my chest. I was like, guys, this isn't stopping. Something's got to happen here. So anyway, outside of that, here's a quick funny story. We're in a new swamp, and we had gotten setting up early and we saw lights in the sky and we didn't know exactly what they were. We thought it was a plane. And it disappeared when we were setting up and probably, I don't know, maybe half an hour after first light, we started hearing a buzzing sound. You might know where this is going. And someone was flying a drone over our heads. And every time birds were working, they were trying to bump the birds.
Oh man.
So needless to say, it turned into a drone hunt, and and we ended up getting it.
Oh man,
we ended up getting it, but we never found out whose it was or anything like that. It dropped in the swamp, and it is what it was. We never got it, but we didn't find it. But that was that was one of the stupider, funny whatever situations. But
it's kind of the wrong group to harass with a drone. Maybe some archery hunters. It could be kind of hard to hit one with an arrow, but
yeah,
you're flying out over some waterfowl hunters with a shotgun. You're asking for it.
100%. One of the guys actually went back to his bag, put in his full choke, and dumped a goose load and dumped it at whatever, 70 yards, 60 yards.
Just, that's it fantastic.
Was it was great. It was funny. It was a good one.
Well, I got some rapid fire questions for you to wrap up if you're ready.
Let's do it.
What's your favorite waterfowl?
Mallards.
Okay. What's your favorite waterfowl recipe?
Ooh, probably poppers.
It's always a good one.
Yeah, we do the, you know, candied jalapenos with the bacon and the cream cheese and the blah, blah, blah. You know, guys have a million different ways to go, but yeah, those are probably the best. Just because a lot of people like them and you can get a lot of people to eat duck with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to introduce people to it.
Yep.
What's your favorite shotgun?
Ooh, this is going to rub some people. I've had Benelli and I always go back to my Stoger. Okay. I have a Stoger that I probably put more money into than most guys put in their Benelli, but it's just my, I don't like a light gun. I like a heavy gun, but it's just my baby. It goes bang every time and I shoot well with it. So
that's great. Laugh I think that's the want. First time I've gotten that answer.
Ah, I knew it. As I told you, a lot of guys are going to be like, what? I might be switching soon. Might be going to a Beretta. My buddy's got one. I really like it shooting well, but it's heavy as hell.
There you go.
We'll see.
A400 guy here.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. What's your favorite snack in the blind?
Oh, man, you're getting good here. Probably jerky.
That's a popular one. Yep. Can't go wrong with that.
Nope.
Probably venison, too, huh? Since you got all those venison, big bucks on the wall there.
Or bear.
Okay. Yep. Man, black bear is delicious.
It's phenomenal, man. It's
People don't believe me, and then when I make it for them, I've still got buddies that talk about camps and stuff that we'll have, and they're like, remember when you brought those bear burgers and put them on the grill? I couldn't believe that was bear.
Yes, sir.
It's really good.
Yeah, I shot a good one this past year, and it was I got a lot of meat, about 900 pounds. It was a good one.
Man, the bears that come out of Jersey, Northeast Pennsylvania and Northwest Jersey, man.
Yeah, monsters.
I think the PA record from over there is like 800 some pounds.
Yep.
It's ridiculous how big they get.
880 with a gun, and I've got it pretty much close. I got the one with the bell right now for the – it's me and one other guy for the world record.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Do you prefer to hunt lakes, marshes, or rivers?
I would say rivers because there's also marshes kind of off the rivers and the floodplains, so probably rivers.
Okay. How many decoys are you using on an average hunt?
Oh, that is a tricky question, man, depending on the time of the season. But let's call it a dozen.
Okay. Do you prefer to go by boat, kayak, or walking in?
Boat.
Or Argo, I guess I should add.
by boat mostly is the best for us.
Okay. And what's your favorite place to waterfowl hunt? Could be something local or somewhere special trip that you've been?
I would still be in the local, you know, in the Jersey timber hole with that, you know, that 3 feet of water, and we got a good feed going, and the guys are all leaning up against the trees watching the sun come up. Man, I've been a couple places now. I still haven't found that I beat that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it, man. Well, take a second and let everybody know where they could find you on socials and your YouTube channel and anything else you want to wrap up with.
Yeah, so Timber Life Outdoors can be found on Instagram, which is Timber_Life_Outdoors. On Facebook, it's just Timber Life Outdoors. And the YouTube channel is the same as the Instagram, same handle. It's Timber_Life_Outdoors. We got a couple good videos up there right now. Only one waterfowl hunt was a compilation from a couple years past, but all the new stuff will be up there shortly. Some deer hunts, some bear hunts, some bunch of turkey hunts. We cover a lot on there. We'll be doing anything you can chase in Jersey. So go up there, take a look. If there's anything you guys want or anything we haven't done or something we could do better, let me know. Send me a message.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time today.
No, thank you, man. This is great, man. It was a pleasure meeting you.
You too. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Brian for taking time out of his day to join me on the show. And thank you all for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube and TikTok @MigrationWaterfowl. We also have a Facebook group for the podcast. Please join us there as well. And if you could, please do me a favor and subscribe to the YouTube channel while you are there. Lots of great content coming that way throughout the rest of the year. You can find the link to our merchandise store in the show notes below or on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Check out our shirts, hoodies, thermoses, coffee, and more over there. And now through the end of June, 10% of everything we sell will go to Delta Waterfowl. Thank you to everyone who's been purchasing merchandise and supporting the show. If you like what you've heard here, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send me a message or email after you leave the review, and I will mail you a podcast decal. And get out there and enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you seek out a relationship with the one who created everything. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 through 5 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart." And remember, the migration is coming. Be ready when it arrives. Tune in next week to hear another great guest on the Migration Waterfowl Podcast.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.